We're the first global storytelling platform that illuminates the unsung stories of resilient women Olympians and Paralympians. So essentially, we focus on the athlete, not the sport. We use sport as a conduit or a launch pad to talk about larger issues such as who these athletes are, what they care about, how women's sports have changed.
You're listening to the Woman of Value podcast. You are about to hear the story of a woman who is following her dreams and passions and creating positive change in the world. My guest today is Jamie Middleman. She is the founder and host of Flame Bearers, and it's an award-winning podcast and the world's first storytelling platform specifically for women Olympians and Paralympians. Her background is in media, having managed a $30 million media portfolio on behalf of the conglomerate of Yahoo, the Huffington Post, AOL, and Verizon. She founded Flame Bearers while she was receiving her master's in public administration from the Harvard Kennedy School. And her work with Flame Bearers has reach in 48 countries, and she recently received 4 Signal Awards in the categories of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and public service and activism. Before Harvard, Jamie received her MBA from Dartmouth's Tuck School of Business. So we have an underachiever here. Really excited to welcome you to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Sandy. I'm really excited to chat with you. I'm sorry, that sounds so annoying. I swear I'm not an annoying person.
No, not annoying. It's a lot of achievements. And I can tell that you're a person who is like a lifelong learner. You just want to grow and find your direction, the things that matter most to you. I'm getting that sense just from your bio.
That's spot on. I think there's only so much that means.
I think it's the personal awards that are probably the most important.
Completely agree. 100%.
So let's start with the question I ask everyone. What does Woman of Value mean to you?
When I think of Woman of Value, a couple different things come to mind. The first is what made me question who I am and what I care about in terms of priorities and values. So the things that come to mind are being a good person, putting others before myself, so being selfless, but yet also having a true sense of who I am and focusing on that. So selfless while still maintaining my roots and my grounding, if you will. And then I would say someone who makes the world better than when she came into the world. So that's something that whatever I do, whenever I lay my head down at night, I want to feel like I made one person's day a little bit better than it was the day before.
Good answer. It all really comes down to values. It's really about what we value most in the world and then living those values, which is not so easy for a lot of people. You know, it's, I think a lot of people are not clear. I mean, you had a lot of clarity here about being the kind of person that you want to be in this world and making the world a better place. And I think that when you have that focus of leaving the world a better place, of making a positive impact, which is why I started this podcast, because I love interviewing women who are doing that, it's inspirational. And it's also really, to me, that's everything. You know, it's just such an important thing.
I completely agree. I can't take the credit for getting there myself, if I'm going to be totally honest. I think it was something that was heavily influenced by both of my parents at a young age in terms of how they raised me and my siblings, in terms of what they talked about, in terms of what they rewarded us for and what they didn't reward us for. What was seen as high praise was working hard, was treating other people with respect. It wasn't necessarily, you know, what college you got into. Yes, they would be proud, but the things that really held the most weight were, you know, getting the best team player award in school or on a sports team. That was seen as a higher achievement than getting into A, B, or C college.
Well, you had good parents who had good values, and that's not so common. Most parents really focus so much on the A, and if it's an A, why isn't it an A+? And did you get into the Ivy League school? And
right.
And then where are you at the end of the day? Because you've achieved a lot. And I get those people who come into my dating coaching practice who say, well, I've got all these achievements, but I don't even like myself, or I don't know how to have relationships because I focus so much on achieve, achieve, achieve. And
Sure.
then what? So
Totally.
it's, yeah.
I think there's a couple different items that I would love to flag on that. Well, first of all, I've been seeing someone for 7 months. If it doesn't work out, I will totally come to you for more help. Two,
Okay.
I would say I think a lot of this crystallized about almost 6 years ago. I lost my dad to incurable brain cancer. And then a year after that, my mom had what's called a type A aortic dissection. And it was those two moments, in addition to growing up with parents who prioritized certain things, that really made me question what I cared about and frankly, what I didn't care about. And the proof that life was too short to really focus on things that at the end of the day, when you're dying or dead, you're not going to be able to redo. So I think it was a combination of, no one, that's not something I would wish upon anyone, but I think I am grateful that I had those lessons early, relatively early in my life, that I could still have what I hope to be a long, happy life, to hopefully reprioritize and put what I want into focus.
Yeah, that's a lot to go through. And the fact that you took that away is also has its testament to who you are and how you were raised. Because I will tell you that I've had clients who had near-death experiences, have had horrible things happen to them. And in the moment, they say, okay, I'm going to stop tolerating all these terrible things. I'm going to leave this horrible job. I'm going to break up with my husband. I'm going to get unstuck. And then as soon as they're back on their feet, they go right back because it's familiar, it's safe, but you chose a different path.
I did. And I think it's something that every day I wake up and I'm, to be honest, a little bit terrified of because it is less secure and more unknown and less traditional. I was, the only person out of my graduating class at Harvard who was doing something in the startup space, let alone in women in sports, which is kind of unheard of, and let alone in podcasting, which is people look at me as if I have five heads. But it's what I care about. It's what makes me happy, and it's where I think I can add value to the world. So even if I reach one person, I'm kind of all the other people can look at me as if I'm a weirdo, but I don't really care.
Yeah, well, I like your five heads personally.
Thank you.
as a person who has taken paths that didn't always fall into the same course that everybody else expected of me, I have a lot of respect for you forging your own path. I really do. So let's start where it all started. Tell us about some of those early moments where you began to see who am I? What is my value in this world?
This is such a hard question because I think there's a lot of different instances that I could point to. I think the first time when I realized what mattered to me most was actually when I was interestingly nominated for an award in fifth grade and did not get it. And this was considered like the What was it? It was like the community member, the nice award for the girl in my class. And I was one of three people who was nominated. And I thought this was such a big deal. And I was hopeful that I was going to win it. And I think what was so pivotal about that for me was I was leaning on external gratification and external accolades to get my self-worth. And it really rocked me and it really upset me when I didn't get it. And this led me down a rabbit hole of self-doubt, of questioning myself, of honestly devaluing myself because saying, oh, the committee didn't give it to me, X, Y, and Z. But I think what was really actually helpful for me was not getting it because then that led me to say, actually, what do you think makes a good person? Do you meet those criteria? Okay, so what? It's a piece of paper. It's something you can put on your resume, but is that actually going to fundamentally change your life? Is that going to change anyone else's life? And the answer was no. So I think that was a turning point for me because at a very early age, it pushed me to challenge something that I had thought from an external perspective carried a lot of weight, and it really made me confront that what kind of turned out to be a facade for me. I would say that the next turning point was really when I lost my dad, and I think that that was really life-changing in the sense that it was a full stop for me, and I basically went into a period of mourning for 2 years, and it really made me pause and think about what I cared about and where I wanted to put my time. And at the end of the day, the thing I took away was the people that I want to invest in, and it is a lifestyle that I want to have, and that I don't necessarily want to be caught up in the rat race and the pressures and a lot of the feelings that I think many people are stuck with. And I kind of want to go to the beat of my own drum.
First of all, fifth grade. I mean, I don't know how you had that insight in fifth grade. Like I think most of us are sourcing our self-worth from external sources for decades. And you already had that wake-up moment in fifth grade. So that's pretty amazing. That really says a lot about who you are. And then losing your dad, which was just so hard and so challenging. But taking the time to mourn, which I think is also important. A lot of people, especially if you're on a track to achieve, you right. don't take time to feel. And you felt and you thought and you were introspective and you realized what mattered most. And I think it's really commendable. It's very admirable.
Thank you. I would say that by no means is this a done deal where it was like fifth grade, Eureka, I came to this process and now I've never sought to achieve again. This is a constant battle, something that I continually check. And then the other thing I would say is that when we say achieve, what does that mean, right? It's what does achievement mean to one person versus another? And I think what I have kind of landed on, or I'm continually going back towards, is achieving means being happy, being balanced, and being a good person. So when I think of striving towards achievement, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, reaching X thousands of people in my podcast. So that would help. That would be amazing. It doesn't mean monetizing this or A, B, and C. It means giving it my best effort. It means being comfortable when I lie down at night, saying I put one foot in front of the other and I did it with integrity.
So you said balanced, and I'm curious what balance means to you.
So I don't think true balance, the way it is, I think, widely understood, is necessarily possible. I think the image of, you know, of two sides of a scale being equally standing up and basically being at the same height is not realistic for me. When I think of balance, it is kind of different pieces of the pie being aware at the level I want them to be at various phases in my life. And I think it's continuously changing, continuously evolving. And I think of balance as balance and movement. So it's not static. It is not as if it is two sides of the scale that are equal. It is constantly evolving, constantly adjusting, getting back to a place of overall equilibrium. So there's going to be times in my life when I am busting my butt, when I am working for 16 hours a day, I'm not able to work out, I'm not spending a lot of time with loved ones. I would say on the other end, there's going to be times in my life when I'm not working hard because things are going pretty well, but I'm overly investing or heavily investing in family, in working out, in other aspects of my life. So when I think of balance, it has more to do with the big picture and taking a step back and saying, am I moving towards what I want in my life? And I'm such a weirdo. I have a list of like my goals of things that are important to me. And as long as I am roughly allocating the chunks of the pie in the percentage that I am shooting for, I feel comfortable. It's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be the same one day to the next, but overall, if I am allocating X percentage of time to family and friends, I'm going to feel pretty good.
That makes sense. I mean, the equilibrium, I think, is where it's at. There's a real misnomer about what balance is. I think people misunderstand it all the time. And I think it's then they set themselves up to reach a goal that's not reachable. and feel bad. So then they get off balance even more because I can't reach balance. So I think this is a great explanation of what true balance really feels like, because it's really about seeing where you start to teeter-totter in the wrong direction and trying to push it back up to where you need to be.
If you have ever played small to make other people feel comfortable, or maybe stayed in a bad relationship or job too long because you didn't think you could do any better, I wrote a book for you. It's called Becoming a Woman of Value: How to Thrive in Life and Love. Each of the 30 chapters contains a life lesson, a story, and an exercise to bring you closer to reaching your full potential. Becoming a Woman of Value is available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle.
Give us a little bit of a background as to what brought you to Harvard Kennedy School, and then how did you end up making this choice to focus on the Olympian and Paralympian women?
Sure. So my background professionally was in media and communications, specifically working with charitable causes related to women and girls. So I worked for the media conglomerate that you mentioned, managing our advertising and editorial space for charitable causes. And I loved that, but I felt like I didn't have as much editorial control as I wanted. It didn't feel like we were able to portray the stories in the manner that we wanted to. And frankly, I noticed that I had a gaping hole in my skill sets. I was looking at my skill sets almost like a portfolio, and where was I weak? And frankly, I knew nothing about the world of business. I had been in the nonprofit world and then the for-profit world, and I looked at everyone at the company within, and I saw who was getting promoted and who wasn't. And it was the people with MBAs who were consistently getting moved up. So I applied for business school, and I was lucky and I got in. And when I was at business school, I looked at the people who I respected most, and I looked up to them, and I saw the jobs they were going into. And they were all people who were doing what we call concurrent degrees. So those are dual degree programs with policy programs. And this actually really struck me because my favorite project that I had ever got to work on in my media role was a public-private partnership we did with Michelle Obama's Let Girls Learn campaign. So essentially it was bringing my for-profit company to the table, the Peace Corps, which is a nonprofit, and the government in terms of Let Girls Learn. So this was a multi-party partnership across different types of institutions. And I said, hey, that's really cool. I have no idea how the government works. With that, I need to better understand that world. So that was why I went to Harvard, explicitly with the goal of being able to develop thoughtful, intentional public-private partnerships. Because I'd worked in the nonprofit and for-profit sector, had no idea how to work with the government. In terms of why I started Flame Bears, I was 1 year into my program, I had been pitching a role to the International Olympic Committee. They invest millions of dollars around investing in elevating the voices of female athletes. They do a lot of work in diversity and equity and inclusion. And I said, hey, let me help tell the world what you do. You have a beautiful book report on your website, but no one's going to read it. Let's help tell the stories of what you're doing in ways that younger generations will see it, will hear about it, will engage with it. And I was hopefully going to get that job, but then COVID happened. And essentially, I was not going to wait another year. We didn't know if the Olympics were going to happen or not. They were postponed. And I said, you know what? Okay, I'm pretty fortunate. I'm at an institution that has funding. I'll apply for funding, and I'm going to try and make it on my own. So that's what I did. It was a little scary. I had never done anything like this before. I had no background in entrepreneurship, but it was something that I was really excited about. It was something I believed in, and I felt like I had the backing of an institution that made it safe for me to go after that dream. So that was almost 3 years ago now, and I've been doing it ever since.
So you started it during COVID. You got your degree for all the various reasons you just mentioned. And And now you're telling the stories of these women Olympians and Paralympians. So tell us a little bit more about like some of the things that you're loving about the podcast, loving about the stories. Like, is there anything that you want to share that really stands out for you from all the stories that you've recorded?
Sure. So just high level, we're the first global storytelling platform that illuminates the unsung stories of resilient women Olympians and Paralympians. So essentially, we focus on the athlete, not the sport. We use sport as a conduit or a launch pad to talk about larger issues such as who these athletes are, what they care about, how women's sports have changed. So we're really not focusing on sports reporting. We're not talking about scores. We're not talking about who beat who. We're talking about things like pay equity, racial justice, motherhood, what matters to them. I feel like whenever anyone asks me to share lessons, I feel like I'm being asked to compare my unborn children because I love every athlete that I work with so much. If you can give me a more targeted question, I can give you a specific athlete within that niche.
Well, I'm thinking about, you know, has there been a story that surprised you, maybe?
Okay. Sure. This story will definitely catch people off guard. Rita Asimwe is from Uganda. She is the top para badminton player in all of Africa. Rita lost her hand about 10 years ago when thieves entered her grandmother's house and she was defending her family, and the thieves hacked her hand off with a machete. Now, I think what is so striking about Rita is Rita had to relearn how to write, how to wash clothes, how to do everything, but with her left hand. She's now left-handed because she doesn't have a right hand. She also relearned the sport of badminton and is now the reigning champion in Africa. What I think is so inspiring about Rita, besides this story that I just shared, is how she approaches every day. I chatted with one of her close friends and classmates, and who knew Rita when she came back to secondary school the week after losing her hand. And Rita was very adamant that no one treat her differently at all, that she was the quote, same old Rita, that she didn't want anyone looking down upon her, pitying her, feeling bad for her. And one of the things that I am continuously hearing from these Paralympians is that they don't want people to feel bad for them. They are incredible athletes who are putting in the work day in and day out, and they want to be recognized for that and not really painted with the pity brush, or they don't want people to look down upon them or feel bad about them because of this horrible, tragic, whatever it is. A lot of athletes, and I obviously can't speak for any of them, but one of the themes that I've heard is that they want to be valued for the contributions they make to the sport, not with A, B, or C that they were born with or that has happened to them.
Yeah, that makes sense. Wow, what a story. But to be valued for who you are, not to have somebody feel sorry for you. And I think the most successful people go beyond who they, what they look like, what their challenges are. It's really just, you're kind of motivated from within to be the best you can be, kind of like you.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you, but I am work in progress.
As we all are, right? Human. So today, take us to what's happening in your podcast and what's going on in your business.
Sure. The next episode we launch is next week is with Masuma Alizada. Masuma is from Afghanistan. She is the first woman from Afghanistan to compete in Olympic cycling. She was on the refugee team, and her episode talks about what it meant for her to represent Afghanistan this summer in Tokyo. What is so interesting is this was right when the Taliban were taking over her country. So she talks about the simultaneous fear for her loved ones at home, meanwhile feeling incredibly proud to be representing her nation, while also knowing that a lot of people aren't able to watch this because they're fleeing for their lives. So upcoming episode coming up with Masuma, we're also in the process of getting into video documentary works. So we haven't announced anything yet, but stay tuned for a very exciting update in regard to the Women's World Cup, which we are very excited about. And we are also doing more live events. So bringing female Olympians and Paralympians to events that where their voices can and should be heard.
Mm, I love that. So that's your future plans, are video documentary work, doing more live events. And so what would the live events look like?
Sure. So to give an example, at this past, so the Super Bowl, I'm forgetting timing wise, how many weeks ago with COVID, my timing has gotten so off. We brought three athletes out and co-hosted a panel at an event brought to you by This Is It Network, which is an incredible organization that elevates the voices of female entrepreneurs. And we hosted a conversation with three athletes, two of them Paralympians, one of them an Olympian. They had 9 gold medals across all three of them. And the conversation was about, how do you create more space for women in sports? So one day that these athletes have the passion and the fervor that we felt out in Phoenix at their events, what are the concrete steps that we as professionals in A, B, or C industry can take to concretely help make sure that one day little girls, young women have people showing up to their sporting events in the same way that everyone did for the Super Bowl. So that was one example. We are hosting an event at an upcoming women's conference. So bringing voices in that sense, but we're really open. We're trying to bring these athletes into corporations, into conferences, really spaces where historically they have not been represented.
So are these spaces where male athletes have been represented?
I think historically, yes. So the Super Bowl, I would say, is a very traditionally masculine athletic space. I think a women's conference is something that historically has been more feminine, more women speakers. But I would say that athletes are not historically represented at a lot of these conferences and thought leadership in particular. If you look at the sports media world in terms of who gets coverage, 96% of the coverage in the U.S. goes to male athletes. So that's less than 4% of sports media coverage goes to women athletes. So it's no wonder that they're not being represented on the big stage when people are looking for big name speakers, because people don't know who they are.
Yeah, and it's important to hear their voices. And I think people also don't realize that there are incredible tools and things you can learn from athletes, especially women athletes who have to often manage things that men don't historically. And I personally am so impressed by the focus, the consistency, the tenacity. It really takes a lot to be a top athlete, and it's a lot of mindset stuff. It's not just being physically fit, you know, it's so much. And I think people really have a lot to learn.
Completely. Just the other day, I was working with Deja Young. So if you're not familiar, Deja is a U.S. track and field Paralympian. She has a gold medal, a silver, and a bronze medal, I believe, in the Paralympics. She has been very outspoken about her struggles with mental health. She actually attempted to commit suicide after her recent baby was born, Cyrae. She had postpartum and has been an incredible advocate for sharing resources in that space, making sure people know that they are not alone, and really kind of making sure that people know that this exists in all industries for women of all colors. She's a woman of color. And making sure that people know that they're not alone. You can literally direct message her and she will respond to you.
Wow. Do you have any other fires that are waiting for you? Books, television? I mean, what are your big dreams?
Yeah, I would say I want Flame Bearers to become the preeminent storytelling platform for elite women athletes. So when women athletes think about having their stories told, that they immediately think of Flame Bears as a safe community that will have your back, that will tell your story how you want it told. I think you can do that in multiple different ways. I think a book is one way. We're thinking about that. I think being on television is another way. Right now, the three channels that we're focusing on are podcasts, live events, and video. But yes, to your point, the big dream down the line, every channel we tell different stories, bring them to light in different ways.
I feel like it's all going to happen for you.
I hope so.
Yeah. You know, when you really focus on a niche and you're really driven, it's amazing how many doors start to open because people start to know you as this person who represents this. And it sort of happens. It doesn't all happen at once, obviously, and it wouldn't want it to happen all at once. But I do believe that when you're really focused and passionate, things start to open up and you start to see opportunities, and I'm excited for your future.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we're going to go to the lightning round. Are you ready?
Ready to go.
Okay. I used to think I wasn't blank enough.
Good enough.
What was the number one thing holding you back from becoming a woman of value?
Myself.
Do you want to elaborate on that one?
Sure. I have continuously found that I am not my greatest supporter when I should be. I treat my friends better and nicer than I treat myself. I am my number one critic, and it's something that I'm actively working on. So it's one of the things that I now do every day when I get up. I have a series of words that I repeat to myself, positive affirmations, as a way to train my brain to rethink how I treat myself.
I like that. It's a very effective way to start to rewire your brain. I was just talking to a friend who just struggles a lot because of her really difficult upbringing. And I really helped her reframe a lot of her negative self-talk into talk of self-compassion, because it's so important, and it's not a lie. It's the truth. Like, we're looking at the world often through the lens of our younger self or our less empowered self, or, you know, we have these crazy bars that we measure success by, and it's really important to be kind to yourself.
Totally. One thing I don't think I mentioned, I have OCD, like diagnosed OCD. So I think growing up, a lot of my thoughts were around what is perfection and what is good enough. And I think a lot of my self-criticism stems from those obsessive thoughts. So a lot of my work that I've been doing personally has been around rewiring my brain so I can actually change those and have them be the affirmations as opposed to the self-criticism.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And I think that's an important thing for people to hear, because I think a lot of people feel they're not at choice. And I actually just wrote a book about choice. It's called Choice Points in Dating. It's right here. I wrote it because so many people feel that they don't have a choice, that they were brought up a certain way, or they have certain things that hold them back. And I do believe that we have so much choice in how we choose to see life, to see ourselves, the support we get in order to rewire our thoughts, because it's really all about the thoughts. Next question. What is the best advice you can give to a woman who wants to become more empowered?
Build your own board of directors. I leaned on others in the beginning, and I still continue to lean on others. And I think that while you are learning, as I am continuing to learn, to flex the self-confidence muscle, I think you can surround yourself with women who will uplift you and who will support you. And I call those my informal board of directors. They're good girlfriends. They're people who have skill sets that I don't have, who frankly just have my back, who challenge me to think differently, and who always have my best interests at heart. I think that if you are just starting out, building your team is a great place to start.
I like that. Next question. What advice would you give to your younger self?
I love this question. One of my favorite books is Letters to Our Younger Self, where people write a series of letters with what they wish they had known. I would say, this is a little harsh, but I just say chill out. I think so much of my childhood and adolescence, and even in my 20s, I was constantly striving and worrying about something that really was elusive. And I wish that I had been able to enjoy the ride a little bit more.
Well, you're still young and you're enjoying it more now, so that's good. All right, next question. What is something people often get wrong about you?
I think a lot of people at first glance don't necessarily see the struggle that I've gone through. I think a lot of people are quick to judge, quick to label, are curious why, are kind of curious, see me as an anomaly within the space I am. And I'd say some people are even a little dubious about me because they're unsure of how I fit. So I'm kind of a square peg in a round hole in certain environments, because they look at my background, they look at who I am, and they say, why are you doing this? And I think a lot of people kind of scratch their head and they don't really get it. That's probably because I'm doing it because I love it. And I can't necessarily point to a resume that says A led to Z, but it's more just this feels right, which is not necessarily something that recruiters or, you know, corporate sponsors like to hear, but it's the truth.
Yeah, it's like, where's the money in it?
Exactly.
I've also found that I've taken, you know, as I said before, I've taken a lot of different paths. And even raising my children, I remember when my son dropped out of college, he didn't give it much of a try. He didn't like school, but he was very self-driven. He's an artist and a musician. And I had friends who said, that's wrong. You should force your kid to go to college. And it's because it made them uncomfortable, but they're not the mom and they're not him. And I think the best parenting advice I ever got was to see my children as people and not just a reflection of me, or try to power over them and make them listen. It's pay attention to who they are. And everybody's got their own path. And my son he's in a great place, and he's happy and self-driven. And college wasn't the right choice for him. He could always go back if he chooses, but it made them uncomfortable. And I think often people can't imagine why you're doing it, but they don't also get curious about it. They just immediately assume things.
I think that's exactly right. Thank you for sharing that about your son.
Oh, you're welcome. He's a pretty cool guy.
He sounds like it.
So finally, Jamie, how would you like to be remembered?
I would love to be remembered as someone who added a little bit more sunshine to the world. So that can mean different things to different people. But I want people to remember me and think that I brightened their day. I was there for them. I gave them a hug when they needed it. I taught them new information, whatever that may mean. But I like the imagery of sunshine, because that's how I feel warmth.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said sunshine, because the name of your company is Flame Bearers, and it's all about light and fire and warmth. In a sense, you know, it's just immediately made me connect the two. And there's something really special about both of those things and the symbolism behind it. Ah, well, this has been a wonderful conversation, so inspirational. And you're young, you're following your passions, and I find it very inspiring. And I'm sure our listeners will as well. So Jamie, where can people find you? Give us one link to share here.
It'll be flamebearers.com. You can find all information on our website there. We also have Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, but they're all off of flamebearers.com.
And all the rest of the links will be in the show notes. So,
you got it.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Jamie, for coming on our show, for showing the world what your version of Woman of Value is and how you bring sunshine to the world.
Thank you, Sandy. I appreciate it. And I love what you do. I think it's been really incredible to catch up on your work. And I'm excited to continue to follow along.
Oh, thank you so much. And good luck with your relationship. Excited to hear about that. And thanks everybody for listening today. If you love our show, please give us a rating, a review, follow us on Apple Podcasts, and as always, be a woman of value.
If you would like to step more fully into your value, grab a free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Becoming a Woman of Value on my website, thewomanofvalue.com. Just click the link at the top of the homepage. And if you haven't already done so, be sure to click the subscribe button in your listening app. And if there's something in this episode that inspired you, please share it with others, because the more we share these inspirational stories, the more women of value we will have in this world. I'll see you next time.